Hey everyone, and welcome to the Worcester Church of the Nazarene podcast. We are in the middle of our series, Songs of Faith. In this series, Pastor Nathan has been taking a closer look at some of our favorite hymns and gospel songs. This week, we will dive in and get to know the song, I'll Fly Away. So, stay tuned for the third installment of Songs of Faith here on the Worcester Church of the Nazarene podcast.
Well, today, in just a little bit, our song is I'll Fly Away. Have you ever heard about that song, ever in your life? It's the most recorded gospel song in the history of songdom. I mean, it was made famous when Elvis Presley recorded it. Lots of country western artists have, as far as a gospel song is recorded. So today, we're going to talk a little bit just about the fact that Jesus is coming again. So this morning, I got up, and you know I like to listen to my best friend I've never met, Andre Crouch. And I put on his Live in London album, and I put it on repeat, and I played over and over. It's probably still playing in my office. Maybe I just changed it. Just like he said he would, he's coming back for me. Do we believe that? So here's the reality, and I think these are from my youth pastor days. I always tried to have illustrations. Some of you still remember when you were here at the other building, I pulled out a huge root, about a bitter root in our heart. I used to do things like, you know, have cow tongues when I was talking about gossip that are about 3 feet long, you know, that kind of thing. And so you're not too old for that. When I was struggling with the transition from being a youth pastor to a senior pastor when I first came here in 95, I was struggling, preaching and all. I just didn't feel comfortable. And it's like the Holy Spirit reminded me, he said, listen, if you can connect with teenagers and hold their attention, you can talk to anybody in the world. Isn't that true? So illustration. So I've been thinking about the second coming. And we all know it's true because really the first coming of Jesus is what we celebrate. And that's wonderful. But that's the point in Advent's all about, not just the first, but the second coming as well. But the problem is, and we'll illustrate it simply today, is that we never know when. So we have a sense of expectancy, and it just reminds me of this little toy. Anybody seen one of these? We used to call it Jack in the Boxes. But here's kind of how we live and we do life. And we know Jesus is coming back, but we don't exactly know when. And so we just take each day at a time and live and live with it. And lo and behold, when we least expect it. It's hilarious because our kids have been terrorized by this toy. I mean, they've been traumatized. You know, you put it in front of them, and as soon as you crank and crank, you never know what's going to pop out, but they cry and scream. I mean, ours is not a happy story, is it? But my point is going to be this. We know that Jesus is coming back, but it's going to be when we least expect it. We know it's in the season, but we don't know the day or the hour. So I thought it'd be really good to just start off with a little bit of I'll Fly Away, okay? This is a song of hope, and we'll talk about that. So would you lead us in? Here we go. You might need to clap a little. I'm not sure how they're going to do it. Let's hear how it sounds.
Here we go. Morning when this life is over.
Sing it out. How many know this is good news? This is good news. Well done. Thank you, team. You're my favorite band of all time. I just love what you do. Can't wait. I look forward to church. I hope you do. Online, you're loving it too. You're standing up and cheering. Get your bathrobe on, would you? Come on. Come on, I see you there. Hey, before I get into the topic at hand, I want to lead up to it because even in this crazy, out-of-control cancel culture in which we live, I want you to know that I absolutely remain optimistic because God is sovereign. He's in control. He's still bringing about his plans and purposes. I'm saying God's plans and purposes will prevail. Is any takers out there? Do you believe that? Now, I know, I'm painfully aware that there's a great, great falling away, but there's also a great ingathering, not just here, but around the world as well. This produces what I like to call a creative tension, if you will. But I want you to know that according to God's word, I am still faithful, F-U-L-L, and I am still faith-filled. How about you? Good things to come. But I do have a concern. It's this, that many who call themselves Christians or followers of Jesus, I believe that many times we're way too much in love with the temporary things of this world that are here today and gone tomorrow. And this produces severe cases, not original with me, but somebody has written cases of affluenza and spiritual complacency. With this, we tend to live like this is all there is. And I'm here to proclaim that this is not all there is. There's more. Amen. There's more. There seems to be a lack of urgency many times for the things of God. And people are far more concerned about what other people think of them than what God might think of them. Many are more concerned about personal comfort than a divine calling of God. And I remind you of these verses that we've maybe read in the past few months, but 1 John 2:15 and then verse 17, we have this admonition. Do not love the world or anything in the world. I think we better be careful about when we throw the word love around, don't you? I mean, we throw words around like crazy. I love this and love that and love that. Love ya, love ya, love ya. It's so shallow. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Do you see the difference? Just like it says, it's not money that's a problem. In other scriptures, it talks about the love, falling in love with things like that. Let's go to verse 17. The world and its desires pass away. Paraphrase, this isn't all there is. But the man who does the will of God lives forever. How does that sound? Hey, I want to tell you, for all of us within the sound of my voice, our eternity, our destiny is eternity. We're going to live forever with God or separated from him, depending on what you choose with your free will. Christ has provided the cure. He's provided the remedy, but we must receive it. We must receive it, but it's a choice. So our greatest concern as his children is we want to reflect and represent him very well. And it's not just about what we were or who we are, but it's what we're becoming for the glory of God. Remember my breath prayer personally that I prayed, John 12:28. Father, Father, in all things, bring glory to your name. I prayed that this week repeatedly, along with the cards that I had that I was praying for, two cards. Anybody pray for the person you had the card for this week? Oh, yes, we believe in God. We pray fervently when we need something, like do this or do that for me, Lord. We'll worship when we feel like it. We return his tithe and we give when it's convenient. We end up asking God many times and mostly for things of the world that are here today, gone tomorrow, things we love and try to hold on to so tightly. We hope God does what we want and gives us the life on earth we desire and think we deserve. While we say we believe in God, as I just mentioned, I'm not sure that we really believe God and take him at his word. We can believe in God, but believing him in his word, that puts our feet into action, does it not? I'd say, yes, we are way too much in love with the things of this world. And to be honest, we tend to trend toward complacency. We need revival, as I just read. The question is, what will it take? Oh, that flows off of our tongue so easily. What will it cost us? What will revival look like? My hope and prayer is that God will burn a passion into our hearts today, that there's an urgency, yes, for today. It's so important, but there's also a hope for tomorrow. I never want to bring a word without hope because it's hope-filled. Do you believe that? So we're in a series called Songs of Faith, and I told you about it, and they sang it, but just a quick story on this. Albert Brumley was born in 1905 in Oklahoma, a very small town, and he grew up in an impoverished family. I'm talking about the one who wrote this song that we've just sung. As a small child, he had to work to help his family pay bills, and as he worked in the cotton fields along with his siblings, it was hard, laborious work. And when he was five, he remembered his oldest brother died of typhoid fever, and he was well acquainted with grief and suffering as a child. When Albert penned these lyrics as a young man in college, he said that, know this, I'm writing it now, but this song was formed and born in my heart when I was a young, hurting child. Listen to this. His heart was longing not for the blessings, not for the temporary things of this world. He was longing, his heart was longing for the glory of heaven. How about you? I think again, I want to remind you, that's an upbeat, countrified song that we did today. That is a song of hope and optimism, not a song of gloom and despair. Agreed? I'll fly away. So I'm asking for the God to give us a sense of urgency today about spiritual things, that passionate hope for eternity. So let's just look in our final moments about the second coming of Jesus. And this isn't going to be an in-depth work, but I want to touch on some things briefly. We'll look at Jesus coming back for the living and the dead. For those who are living in him and following him, they'll be taken to heaven forever. I've recently discovered some books on my shelf and some new things that David Jeremiah, I've always liked David Jeremiah, and he's really an expert, has written so effectively on this, and it set off a spark in my heart. But the Bible clearly teaches today, this isn't a Nazarene thing or a Baptist thing or whatever your brand may be. The Bible clearly teaches that Jesus is coming back, and no one knows exactly when it will happen. I mean, we keep cranking out the light, but Jesus is going to come back. Agreed? That's the promise of his word. That's good news. That's not bad news. We don't need to be fear-filled in any way, shape, or form, but we do need to talk about it. I just say quickly that the Bible is so full of wonderful things, 66 books by over 40 authors and compiled over 1,500 years, and there's so much prophecy, predictions way ahead of time, things that have come true. Some scholars have said that maybe 20 to 30% of the Bible itself is prophecy. Long before Jesus ever came to this world and discovered this world, authors for years described his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection, and they were fulfilled and documented in the New Testament. So this must serve to build our faith and trust in the truth, the divine inspiration, and the infallibility of God's word. Amen? Let's consider Jesus. And I don't have time to go through the list, but I'll just tell you, in the Bible, it starts with the fact that he's going to be born of a virgin in Bethlehem, all the way to he's going to rise from the dead and ascend to the Father, and all points in between. And how do you know those things happen exactly was written years and years and years before, just as predicted. So these reminders I say about Jesus, when we consider Jesus, we can't get off track when we're considering Jesus. These reminders ought to be a huge faith boost for us, to believe not just for the first coming that it happened, but for the second coming as well. Agreed? Jesus is coming back. So our eternal hope is based on this fact. So scholars say again that when it comes to the Bible and prophecies about the first, there's at least five times more prophecies about his second coming than his first coming. So that's why we need to talk about it. Agreed? It's important. So I'm asking God to give us, yes, urgency, but also an infusions of hope as we think about these words, simple though they are, in our closing minutes together. Number one is simply, Jesus is coming back. There is going to be a great return. There's going to be a great return. I've been listening and singing about his return my whole life. Many of you, if you've been in church, it may be the same that's true for you. You've at least heard about it. And I was going through the hymnal again, and almost it seems like the gospel songs, the last verse of hymns is always, and gospel songs, it's always about heaven. Would you agree with that? Like when we've been there 10,000 years, our song Amazing Grace, on and on it goes. It is well with my soul, whatever the case may be. It's about the second coming. And Andre was right, just like he said he was, he's coming back for me. He's going to take me to his mansion in the sky. John 14, 1-3 speaks of it. I love this. I use this passage often. It says, to those of us alive, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. Jesus speaking. There is more than enough room in my Father's house, in my Father's home, I should say. If this were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. Man, that's a God thing. I talk about that every chance I get. He loves you so much that he wants us to always be with him where he is. And you know what? No matter how much we love on this earth, I mean, we don't want to be with him all the time. That's what I always say. We love to see grandparents, the headlights coming, but man, we're thankful for taillights, aren't we? When those kids can go home and we can regroup. But he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you because I want you to forever be with me where I am. I want to tell you, that's a picture of unconditional love. He's coming back. I was thinking of one of the songs, arrangements we've done about the first coming at our Christmas worship. And I listened again to Christy Knockle singing it wasn't really written as a Christmas song, but we sang it, Joy to the World. What's the next phrase? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. And then at the end of that, you can Google it today and play it on Spotify or something, whatever you use. But at the end of that, she goes into this little repetitive, simple line, the King is coming. The King is coming. He came once, but he's coming twice. Right. He came once, but he's coming twice. So early Christians were under unbelievable persecution and pressure as time went by. They were supposed to deny Jesus and his resurrection. And to confess after a time following Jesus could actually lead to persecution and death. When they connected with others who confessed to follow Jesus and they shared their faith in the resurrected one, they would also lean in close to one another and almost whisper and say, Maranatha, Maranatha. You know what that meant? The King is coming soon. It may be really tough now. It may be bad now, but take hope, be inspired, be infused with hope because Jesus is coming back. Maranatha. Wow, that's code for Jesus is coming back. They longed for the return of Jesus and the glories of heaven. They were not in love with the things, the temporary things of this world. We're talking about the early followers of Jesus. I mean, they'd been there. They'd seen him do all that he did, the miracles. They saw him crucified. They saw him after he rose from the dead. I was laughing about it. Maybe you're like me. I've heard that Jesus was coming back, and I worried about that a lot as a kid as I reviewed my day or week prior to that, you know, whatever service. But when I was growing up, I longed for the return of Jesus with some qualifications. After I'd gone to summer camp, after I'd gotten my driver's license, after I'd dated someone, after I got married. Can anybody relate to me? So my favorite song was, in the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. I didn't want to sing about now. I was all about the sweet by and by. You're looking at me like you're so holy and pure. You did the same thing and you know it. Oh God, come back, even so come Lord Jesus. But I wanna have 25 kids first or whatever the case may be. Listen to 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Are you doing all right out there? All right, let's read it. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. How many of you'd like to check that out? Anybody living near a cemetery? Oh my lands, can you imagine that? Glorified bodies just coming up and out at the trumpet sound. That reminds me of Sandy Patty's hit song for years. Remember, We Shall Behold Him, or No More Night, or Andre's Just Like He Said He Would, He's Coming Back. So I just want to tell you today, if you believe in God's word at all, you have to embrace it. Jesus is going to return. He is coming back. He is coming back. You know what our responsibility is? To be ready at all times, because we don't know when. That's genius, isn't it? That's the genius of God Almighty. Not only that, but I want to tell you, there's the rapture. And we could talk theologically about that, but we believe that there'll be a time when Christians living will be taken up and out. Let me read the 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we'll be with the Lord. There it is again. How long? Forever. So encourage one another. It doesn't say discourage one another with these words. It says be encouraged. Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back for his followers. Those are prepared and ready at all times. Sandy was right. We shall behold him, our Savior and King. Believers will be snatched away and rescued. Brumley's song will become a reality. I'll fly away, oh glory, in the morning. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, or when I'm caught up in the air, I'll fly away. Matthew 24 speaks to it about that. It said, people didn't realize what was going to happen, but the flood came, and two men working, and women in the field, and one was taken, and one was left. So we must be ready, because no one knows You know, being around the church all these years, there's still people that think they have it figured out. I know we're to be aware of the seasons. I know what the Bible teaches. But the fact is, no one knows when the trumpet will sound. We just know it will. We know he's coming back. This is our hope and urgency. That's our passion. It's not bad news. It's filled with hope. He will come when we're not expecting him. Matthew 24, 44 speaks to it. You must also be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. That's good news. Could you imagine this? You know my mind, how it works. Could you imagine we're gathered like this in a church, ours or someplace else, and we're sitting there on a worshiping on Sunday morning, when all of a sudden the trumpet sounds, and especially if over half of our congregation immediately vanishes. Would that be a shock? Well, it really would if you were the one that remained to see it. Or how about if half the congregation was gone, but you and the pastor were still here? That'd be a problem, wouldn't it? I guess we'd be careful, as I said on Easter, about declining Jesus, about stiff-arming and saying, no, no, later, later, later. Well, Jesus was caught up in the air after his resurrection and time with his disciples and all of that. He was caught up in the air in the clouds, and he basically said this: I'm gone, I'm out of here, but I'll be back. Don't quit looking for me. Live with expectation, with the hope of my promise, I'm coming back. When I was in my teens, most New Year's Eves were spent around the church, and there was a series back then about the second coming rapture called A Thief in the Night. Does anybody remember that? No, besides me? Help me out here. I'm feeling kind of lonely up here today. I mean, that scared everything, the living daylights out of me. And it was about the rapture. And then they had if that wasn't enough, they had a sequel. They had like three in a row. I mean, and each one got even worse, you know. But I want to tell you, they gave effective altar calls after that. I mean, there were stampedes to the altar after a movie about the rapture of Jesus. And I was often among them once again. But by faith, we believe this to be true, that Jesus is coming and he'll take all believers home to be with him forever in heaven, just like he said he would. I don't know about you, but I don't intend to miss it. Amen? That was my prayer on my card that I exchanged with, I think, Sheldon. That's one of my cards that I don't want just my kids to know the Lord and be saved and make heaven their home. I want all of my grands to experience a life-changing relationship with Jesus. Yes, you agree with that? That's the desire of my heart. That's the desire of our heart and our home. But finally, before we have a song, I just want to say that there's also the promise that he's coming back. Okay, there's that great return and the rapture, and you can get all kinds of twists and turns on that, what you study theologically. But I want to tell you, heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful place. Did you ever sing that as a kid? You guys are looking at me like I'm from another place today. You ever sing that little thing? Yeah. I think I almost sang it on key with whatever key you're in there. Heaven is a wonderful place. Do we believe that? Do we believe that? I wonder. I mean, Christians are going to be with God forever. I just read it. That's going to be the ultimate and permanent family reunion. We're going to sing the homecoming in a moment. Let's read 17 again. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. Together forever. That's good news. That's good news. Brumley wrote just a few more, and we sang, a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy will never end. I'll fly away. We're to encourage each other with these words. Jesus is coming back. Because there today, here today, I know, I don't live with my head in the sand. I know what's going on in our world. I know today some are hurting and lonely and grieving and fearful and lost their burden. I know that's true. But I'll say again with the confidence of God's word, this old world is not all there is. This life is temporary. There's more. You think it's really good now? You can't even imagine what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be way beyond the best that you've ever known here. Well, I don't know about heaven because I have this earthly relationship that's so wonderful. And oh, I don't want to go to heaven unless I know I'm going to be married to my three former wives or whatever the case may be. And I say, okay, you can take any relationship. I don't care how good it is. You can't even imagine that heaven's going to be so much better than that. So you think about for a moment the best thing you've ever experienced in this life. And then you think, heaven's going to be that to the 10th power and then some. Heaven really is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace, the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who died for us, the one that we live for. Oh, that return. He's coming. He's coming. When you live in Christ, the day will come when you'll be caught up and live forever in the presence of God. And as David Felt sang so beautifully, indeed, there will be no more night. Remember, Dixie, I played that at your dad's memorial. No more night. No more pain, heartache, sickness, disease, poverty, loneliness, shame, hatred, death. So let's live like it today. Let's live like people with hope. I feel like I'm a cheerleader today. This is good news. This is good news. Maybe we should just say for a couple weeks, lean in and go, we don't have to whisper anymore. We're not persecuted in that way yet. But we can say, Maranatha, things may be crazy in our culture, but Jesus is coming back. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. It doesn't say was come. It says is come. We are going to be reunited forever. 1 Corinthians 15. Second service may get a little better version because you might need to say, I'll have a little more time. But let me reveal to you, it says, chapter 15, a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. Is anybody looking forward to that day? It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. There it is again, over and over. Raised to live forever with the Lord. And those who are living will also be transformed. So I'm just here to tell you the good news is this old world is not all there is. God's word, I go with God's word. Every issue that is in our culture today, it's a direct affront to Almighty God, which is what Satan does. He said, basically, I know as much as God. I want to be like the Most High. Everything is turned on its head. We don't say how this world is going to end and be changed. God's word says it. And there's nothing we can do to alter that. Amen? Think about it. It's winding down. So don't leave unfinished business. I want to encourage you to speak those words that need to be said. I want to encourage you to do the deeds of kindness that make Jesus attractive. I mean, the real deal to what you say is how you live. Share every chance you get the reason for the hope that is within you. Because Maranatha, Jesus is coming back again. I want you to be glad about that. I want us to have an urgency. I don't want any of my kids or my grands to be left behind. Do you? Then let's live like this is not all there is. Eternity matters. Give him your all now. Now, nothing held back. No regrets, no excuses. You know what the two big S words are about this? It's called to a life of sacrifice and surrender. Nothing held back. Sold out. Sold out. I don't remember the story exactly, and I'm done. We're going to sing. But I've heard this echoed even from people in our congregation over the years, but I can't remember all the stories. But this fairly young man, middle-aged man, got very ill, and he was diagnosed and told basically that he had a limited time to live. And here's his perspective. You can argue all you want, but here's what he said. He said, I was blessed when they told me I had a limited time to live because that totally changed my life. You talk about instant change of perspective, it changed everything. Yeah, Maranatha, Jesus is coming again. That's the return. We don't know when the rapture is going to take him, but I don't want to miss it, do you? And I don't want to miss that ultimate family reunion. Could we sing about that in closing? I'm going to invite you to stand if you can. If you're here and you've never said yes to Jesus, that means agreeing with the work on his cross that was necessary for him to come and die for your sins for forgiveness. If you've never accessed forgiveness, you can pray that prayer. You can do it at home. Just say, Jesus, I say yes to you. I want to give you my sin. I want to surrender my life to you. That's what it takes to get to heaven. That's not a brand of any religion. That's the biblical way. Yes, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. If you could die for me, I want to live for you all of my days and time. So let's celebrate. I want you to get everything out of your mind except Jesus is coming. And when we get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be. Could we sing it, Nate? Here we go. You know it. The altars are open always for prayer. Pray for that person again. I was faithful. Pray for that prayer exchange. We've had some answers to prayer. Tell us about answers to prayer that have happened in this last week.